let's get into the Word of God. 1 John, let's just again reread what we were looking at last time we were together. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the Word of life. For life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which is with the Father, and was manifested unto us, us being the disciples. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And then here's the key verse. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. So tonight is your joy full. I hope it is. We still use that terminology, right? He or she is joyful. We need to be full of joy. And so this morning, if you just keep a finger there, I can't help it but touch on this, since it's the topic that we're talking about. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 1, Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." And this morning I emphasized in my ABF class, you know, rejoice in the Lord is not a suggestion. Like, that's a command, you know, to be joyful, rejoice. And so we need to make sure that we're rejoicing even when we don't feel like it. But these are some things that we can get around. And then I'm not going to get into it for this evening, but this morning we got into some practical things that cause rejoicing. And that's always important, too, to put handles on these things so that we can rejoice. So just by way of remembrance, we've talked about the joy of fellowship with the Word, because the Word's going to be the source of our joy. Jesus, I'm doing an acronym, Jesus, Others, and Yourself. So Jesus is where our joy is found. We talked about that last week, and I rehearsed it. And then we talked about how joy is found in having a relationship with Jesus. Talked about how, again, how our hands have handled. John's referencing the physical nature of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Then I got into my second point, which is others. So joy is found in identifying Jesus. And so we talked about that. 1 John 1:1, He is the Word of life. And then, so that's Jesus. Jesus is the source of our joy. Secondly, others. And I don't think I told you this, but this little outline that I'm giving you just changed my life. You ever had certain messages you'll never forget? They just, like, you go and you... God just speaks to you, and like, you can still remember the impact. This was one that I had. I was at a what was called Old McDonald's Farm. It was a camp that we had for adults, and a pastor named George Grace came and he spoke there, and he got these three metal chairs, and he just took like regular 8.5 by 11 paper or copy paper or whatever, and he writes a J and an O and a Y, and he puts joy, and then he preaches this message with these chairs and this paper, Jesus, Others, and Yourself. He illustrates it, and man, I never forgot that. And he tied it to this passage. That's why I'm not preaching his message, because I don't have that good of a memory. But I never forgot the premise of Jesus, Others, and Yourself. So first point for joy is Jesus. Second point is others. So joy is found in sharing the Word with others. And we started off on that last week, and I'm going to finish it this week. And then hopefully we'll get to our personal joy from there. But so we started with Jesus, others. We find joy in others. So joy is found in sharing the Word with others. In verse 3, we see that John says, "That which we have seen and heard and declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." And so, so you notice there in verse 2, he says, "For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life." It's like the showbread, right? They're showing the bread of life off. And he's like, "Hey, we're showing it unto you, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us." Verse 3, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you." So they're showing it unto them and they're declaring it unto them. And so showing is an example or an ensample, and declaring it is obviously, typically, it's a verbal thing. But there's a purpose behind it, that ye may have fellowship with us. Right? That's the reason. They're showing it to them so they can have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. There is something about being a Christian, right? That it puts you in the club. What draws us together is Jesus. And no one wants to be exclusive, and churches are often, you know, chastised for that. You know, we're a hospital for sick people, all that. That's all true, and we should be. But at the end of the day, that really, your hurts are not what binds us. What binds us is our solution, which is Jesus. And so the solution is Jesus. The person is Jesus. The purpose is Jesus. Jesus is the reason we're bound together. Again, appealing to the tabernacle illustrations, you can't get around every article in the tabernacle. The tabernacle itself, everything always points to Jesus, right? And to the Godhead. So, you know, without that, we're just a bunch of hurt, wounded, messed up people. We're an Adamic race that's all messed up. That's not what binds us. What really binds us is Jesus. And we do have to be careful with that. I'm very sensitive to that because I've in the prison ministry, I've seen people, I won't get off onto all the reasons why, but I do get a little weary oftentimes of that being the, you know, the issue. You know, but anyway, I won't get on my hobby horse. It's important to make sure Jesus is the reason for our fellowship. Okay, so we witness to others of our relationship with the Word. We already talked about this, so I'm not going to rehearse all that. Last time we met, we talked about, you know, it's important to witness and bear witness. So we talked about the book of Acts, and how the disciples did that, how they saw and they heard. Philippians 2:9, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Ultimately we're trying to magnify Jesus. And so why we come together is we gather together because Jesus is the Word of life, and we want to be a witness to others of our relationship with the Word. So that gets us to declaring, right? So we talk. There's the sharing, and then there's declaring. We showed it unto them, and we declare it unto them, and so declare unto others your fellowship with the Word. In verse 3, there, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. So it's a little different from verse 2. So John couldn't stand by and allow Satan to rob others of the joy of knowing the Word of life. So he took things into his own hands. And he says, that which we have seen and heard and declare unto them, unto the saints. So he wanted the others to enjoy that as well. And he wanted to have fellowship together. And so he was sharing it with others. So he wanted the fellowship to be with them. So when we fellowship with the Word of life, we're fellowshipping with our Heavenly Father. And so our cross reference for that is John 14:7. In John 14:7, the Bible says, "If ye had known me, ye should have known the Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." And Philip, remember this exchange probably from John 14? Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." And Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long a time with you, and hast thou not known me, Philip? And he that hath seen me hath seen the Father," which is a bold statement. "How sayest thou then, show us the Father?" Again, talking about show. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. How's that? Well, it's because he's the physical manifestation of God. He is the God. He's God manifest in the flesh. And so that's an incredible statement that he made there to Philip. And then he says in verse 10, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." Now the Father you can't see, but you can see him through Jesus, because Jesus is the physical manifestation. He's the Son. And so believe me that I am the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. So he says, if you can't believe me, just look at what I do, right? That reminds me of a song, but I don't remember what it is. Anyway, but there's a song, and it's a secular song. But when I hear it, I think of this. Hey, step back and see what I do. I mean, Jesus Christ's works go before him. So that's a really interesting thing. Is in 1 John, the Apostle John, obviously he wrote both epistles, John 14 and John, 1 John chapter 1. That which we have seen and heard, right, in that public ministry, he was right there with Philip, declare we unto you that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. Now I don't want to go too far with this, I touched on it this morning, and it came back up actually in a counseling session I had this afternoon, and it was very comforting to know that truly we are twice, right? Jesus is the light of the world. He states that. No, you can't question that. Two witnesses. I am the light of the world. But then he tells his disciples, "You're the light of the world. So, you know, you're set on your city set on a hill." And so we know from, again, we know very clearly in the New Testament, we're lights. We have a spiritual light. And we have fellowship with the Father. So we do represent Him. And so a preacher used to say, "Don't doubt in the dark what God gave you in the light." Well, part of stepping into a local church and stepping into fellowship with other believers is stepping into the light, because people bear the light of Christ, the Word of God, the Spirit of God. It's not about us and our behavior. Sometimes it's just supernaturally being obedient. God shows up, you know, and He does what He does because He's awesome. And so we praise Him for that. "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake." So we can only know Jesus' works by knowing Jesus' words. How are we going to know if Jesus' works are right if we don't know His words, right? When He's saying, "Check out my works," what He's saying is, am I the one that's written? Am I the Messiah? Am I God manifest in the flesh? Yes, He is. Believe what you see. And how? Because of what you hear from the Word of God. And so He and His Word are one. There's no distinction. He fulfills His Word. And so, so watch what He does. That's it. Don't believe me, just watch. That's it. Don't believe me, just watch. That's it. So if you don't believe Jesus, just watch. That'd be good preaching if I had it in order, but I don't. So so fortunately, those secular songs aren't on the tip of my tongue. It takes a few minutes to find their way to the front of the hard drive. But anyway, so the next thing I want to mention about this, and then we'll move on to as we're talking about others, is join in fellowship with the Word in verse 3. He says there at the end of the sentence in chapter 1 and verse 3, "And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." So John wanted the saints to join the same fellowship he had with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Not some metaphysical experience, but a tangible, personal relationship with the God of the universe. And this is important today, because there's a lot of metaphysical activity out there that people can get embroiled in. And that's not what we're talking about. If you truly know Jesus as Lord and Savior, the Word of Life, you should naturally want to share Him with other people. And some of us may need to return to the Word of Life, because we can share Him with others. Larnell Harris has that song. I've quoted it before. "I Miss My Time With You." I think we've probably all heard that song if you're old like me. But he said, "I miss my time with you, the moments together. I need to be with you each day. It hurts me when you say you're too busy trying to serve me. How can you serve me when your spirit's empty? There's a longing in my heart, wanting more than just a part of you. It's true. I miss my time with you." Now, that's kind of sappy. That is kind of 80-ish. But the point is God does actually desire time with us. I mean, He's holy. He doesn't need us. He wants us. But let's be frank, He lives inside of us, and He doesn't want to be grieved. So part of it is just practical. I mean, God wants to, He wants the water, the Word, to wash over, right? He wants His mind to be in us, not our own mind. And so if we're grieving the Spirit, it's because we're not joining Him in fellowship, and that comes around the Word of God. I was just talking with someone recently about this very thing, and you can keep going through the Christian, I mean, Christian everything, Christian this, Christian that, Christian here at church, other things, all Christian, but I'm like, are you in the words of God? Are you like washing in the Word daily? That's it. You can be a lot less Christian and still be a lot closer to God. You know, being in Christian environments doesn't make you close. You can be far, far away. One of my friends told me that when we were in Shepherd's, he went through Shepherd's School before me, about 4 years ahead of me, and he was a ministry head that I was under. He told me the time I was farthest away from God was when I was in Shepherd's School. Yeah, and I could see that. So it was just study, 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 deadline, 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 but no devotional time, right? And so I always remembered that. And I actually am exercised in that. So I think that was actually early on in my walk. God did that on purpose. This fellow's name was Daryl. I think Daryl shared that with me to prep me personally for the rigors of my own experiences, not just with Shepherd School, but with work and then later on in ministry. Being in ministry, you think, oh, every pastor's got to be just walking on water. That's the farthest thing from the truth. There's a lot of, that's why you hear so many pastors falling, because you can stay in all this Christian stuff. You feel like you're doing something for God, but at the end of the day, you're not doing anything if you're not fellowshipping with God, fellowshipping in the Word, which is, this is the point, this is my sub point, is make sure that you join in fellowship with the Word, right? You got to have time with the Word. I got a meeting coming up Friday morning with a fella. And you know what? It's, we're not doing it over the phone, and we're not texting and doing it on email. We're going to meet at a coffee shop at 8 o'clock this Friday, and we're going to talk face-to-face. Why? Because it's important that we see each other, right? And it's the same way with the Word of God. It's important that we're looking in the mirror, right? And the mind of Christ is getting in us, and we're fellowshipping. I know you guys are salty, and I don't have to go off on that, but it's still so important, because most of the major failures in ministry and in marriages and everything happen here. You know, I can't tell you how many hours and literally days I probably spent, you know, counseling people that don't do that, right? So here, I'm, no offense, I'm not, I don't want to be offensive to anyone. I don't want to, I'll just roll that back. But let me just say this. You can spend a lot of time with trying to help people that don't help themselves by fellowshipping with Jesus, right? At the end of the day, that's where it's at. So much can be handled when you fellow, when you spend time with Jesus. It changes the way you interact with other people, including the people closest to you. And so so John wanted the folks to have fellowship with Jesus the way he did, so they could have fellowship with each other, because it's like a lubricant that greases the skids. And so if you truly know Jesus as Lord and Savior, the Word of Life, then you should naturally want to share Him with others. And I don't mean that just like witnessing. Like the joy, the love, the relationship. Have you ever been in, I'm like that even in my own home at times. Like, I'm like, hey, let's make sure, I'm the head of this thing. Let's make sure Jesus is the priority. So, because you can get all these relationships going and find that Jesus is like an add-on. So that's as a head of the house, you got to make sure that's going on too. So some of us may need to return to the Word of Life before we can share Him with others. And so we've been called into fellowship with God so we can fellowship with others. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. It doesn't say we're faithful. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God is faithful. So we've been called unto the fellowship of His Son by Jesus Christ our Lord. So we have fellowship. So don't be miserable any longer. Make Jesus your priority and get back into His living Word so you can have life to share with others. And this is, again, so timely for me personally. This is super devotional for me tonight. Just because this morning, obviously you guys probably, as I mentioned earlier, the family that's dealing with suicide. Man, I literally was right after my ABF class, just teaching this very set. Bob was a witness. I'm not telling fibs. I was talking about joy this morning and rejoicing. And someone comes into my class and says, hey, there's this couple. They used to go here. They're my neighbors. This tragic thing happened. I'm like, yeah, I heard about it. I didn't know if they were going. It's been years, 10 years probably since they've been here. And she's like, yeah. She's like, you got to go by there and see them because they're just, it's a bad situation. I said, thumbs up. And I'm literally walking into my office after talking with her, and I'm thinking, okay, after church, probably I need to probably just call them. I'll maybe go swing by there. I was literally at my desk before I came to preach, saying, I need to get these people. I got to get to them. And so someone comes and knocks at the door as I'm queuing up my message on my tablet and getting ready to come in here. And they're like, hey, as Jeremy Bonison, I think, came in. And somebody said, hey, the Lucan bills are here. And I'm like, what? We're just like 30 seconds ago, I was just talking about them. They're in the building? They're like, yeah. So I came walking in here, and there they sat, right? And so what does that got to do with anything? It has everything to do with everything. Because you know what? What they really didn't need this morning was my message. That wasn't really for them. I mean, it was. What they needed was me to just go hug them and let them know that Jesus loves them and that they're welcome in fellowship here, because our fellowship is with the Father, and that's through His Son, Jesus, right? And we're the light, because not because of us, because of Him. I mean, it's just so applicable. You know, what if you're not right with the Lord? What if you're not walking with Jesus? What if you're not in fellowship with Him and you don't have anything to offer people that are really, really hurting? you know? And so I'm just saying, this stuff is super practical. Because you really see people in need in our community, in our real world that we're living in, and all they really need, they don't need another program, they don't need another harvest party. You know, those are great things to do. I'm not against them, obviously I'm all for it. But what they really need is Jesus to meet them at those places. And that's really what they need, is they need Jesus. And so our fellowship with him is so important, because we got to be in fellowship with him if they're going to be in fellowship with him. You know, and I am not saying that God's not big enough to go around us, because he is. And, you know, he can use Balaam's ass. But let's not be Balaam's ass, right? Let's be those people that are in fellowship with God, so God can use us as connecting. You know, in electrical situations, in my wife's Acadia, I put in a brand new taillight, because the old one was really good, but someone just clipped enough to pop the little thing off, so I didn't want water getting down in there. It worked great. So we get, you know, those things are like literally $400 or $500. I'm like, that is crazy. So we do what we all do. We bought something from China or Vietnam off of Amazon, and it doesn't work. So I play with it, and Sam's in there pressing the brake, and I'm trying to get, I'm like, what's going on? And find out it's an electrical short. And so I'm playing with it till I get it to work, and then I'm like, oh, that's it. So then I wrap some tape around it, and I get it all together, and I gently put it in, and it worked for a few weeks. And all of a sudden, it's not working anymore. So I got this brand new light fixture. It doesn't work. You know, in reality, I want the contacts to connect, right? So that's what God needs. We need to be in fellowship with God. So when God uses us and get the lights on, the lights come on. You know, when he presses the button and says, I need the light on Brian, boop, he's there. You know, the Spirit of God's not hindered by sin and all kinds of other stuff and junk, that the lights can come on. And so we got to be in fellowship with God so we can have fellowship with others, because they don't need fellowship with us. They need fellowship with Jesus. I know I'm talking in circles, but this is really practical. And so God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God is faithful. He's faithful. He wants to work through us, so he needs us to be faithful. All right, so lastly, I'm out of time. And I really, let me finish this, because I don't want to keep belaboring. So let me go ahead and finish. The last one is yourself. Jesus, others. It's important, right, that we fellowship with Jesus. It's important that we, to have joy, you got to put Jesus first. You also got to put others ahead of ourselves. And then lastly, our us. So it's not I'm second, it's at least I'm third. Might be I'm fourth, fifth, or sixth. And so you guys all know that I am second campaign. It's like, well, not really. You know, let's go third, fourth, or fifth. Because Jesus is first, others are ahead of us, and then you got yourself. So at least I'm third. Right? That should be, I hate to correct that campaign, but it always troubles me. I'm second. Like, I get what you're saying, but really you're third, at least. Maybe fifth, who knows. But anyway, yourself. The last point is yourself. So joy is found when you place Jesus and others ahead. You might have been ahead of me, ahead of yourself. So 1 John 1:4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. So if you want to be full of joy, joyful, let's put Jesus and others ahead of ourselves. So Jesus, we spend time in the presence of the Word of Life. That's Jesus. We prioritize time in God's Word. We rise up early to meet him in the Scriptures. 2 John 1:12. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that your joy may be full. Man, face to face. There's something about that. I talked about that this morning in the real life class, about the need. One of the ways that God causes us to rejoice is others. Like, literally. And having healthy relationships brings joy. You know, relationships with other saints, Epaphroditus, Timothy, whatever. We articulated some of the relationships that bring us joy. We talked about a lot of things. We had all the right. It's like Sunday school with little children. Jesus, you know, and all these, and minister, the Word, all that should bring us joy. But practically speaking, like tangibly, people bring us joy. And I was sharing this with the real life class, that my friend Brian Aiken is in, going through a really tough time. We need to pray for him tonight. And 30 days on chemo, and he has a chance, 30% chance, I believe, of dying if this goes wrong, maybe more, because they're just eviscerating his bloodstream, right, to get rid of to reset him so that he can fight they're going to give him all the cool drugs so he can fight off the, reset his immune system, fight off the, what do you call it, leukemia. And so So if he makes it through these next 30 days, then he has like a 95%+ chance of defeating this cancer, which is the end game. So, and forgive me, Bob, this is a repeat, but his... Oh, it was for you too. You guys were there. I forgot about that. So his son calls, Cameron Aiken. So it's only new to three of you. But his son calls me. And one of the reasons, though, in particular, he called me and a couple other guys, because we go all the way back to our youth, early days when we first got saved, you know, and he knows that his dad gets a lot of joy from our interactions. Like, there's laughing, there's encouragement. And he's like, man, it's true. There's medicine in your guys' interactions. And so I want you guys to interact with Dad. Now, we can't go in there and see him because, well, his immune system's compromised, so we don't want to give him any diseases. But, man, he's just calling on us to, what, iron sharpens iron, but also to break fellowship with him to bring a medicinal value to the struggle he's going in. I mean, there are tangible things that joyful relationships bring, and people bring joy. And so, he says, I got a lot of things I'd like to say to you, but I really just want to be with you. You know, there's just some people, not everybody. I mean, you may not want to hang out with me. I actually understand that. But there are some people in your life you just want to hang out with. They are just fun to be with. They're fun to talk to. They're just, you have a good time, especially when they're walking with Jesus. And you know what? That is good. And so pray God's words back to him that your joy may be full. Be joyful. Be full of joy, and you'll bring joy to other people. And that brings a lot of value. Another thing that will bring us joy, though, is actually praying the words of God back. Like, we do that every Sunday in the real life class. We read a passage and we pray that back to God. That's a good way to bring your joy. Make it full. Fulfill the joy. John 16:22 says this, and ye know therefore, I'm sorry, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto ye have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. And so in John 16, we see that our prayer life affects our joy life. Right, and so I've actually done this. I have. Have you ever lamented something but never prayed about it? That is so carnal. I do that. I hate to admit how much I do that. I'll be complaining about something instead of praying about something. You know, and you know, prayer is so important to having a full joy. And another thing we need to do when it comes to putting others ahead of ourselves is simply. You know, we obviously got to put Jesus and others ahead of ourselves, but we need to make sure in John 15:10 it says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. So this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And we're all familiar with greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. But preceding that, he says, these things have I spoken unto you, that your joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. So I need my joy in you, and he's telling his disciples, my joy needs to be in you, and I want your joy to be full. I want you, just like 1 John chapter 1. And so he says that in John chapter 15. And then he says, hey, make sure that you love one another as I've loved you. Love people to death. Like, that's counterintuitive to everything you'll hear in the world, which is the world's going to say, put up walls. You know, and there's some wisdom. You got to be wise. But at the end of the day, you need to get put others ahead of yourself, or you won't have full joy. If you put yourself ahead of others, you're going to be joyless, not joyful. And that's just the way God's programmed it. And then yourself, the prioritization there. We need to prioritize our life around God's word and God's people, and you'll find that you'll have joy to spare. Right, so Psalm 23:5 says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." Right, he's in the midst of all of that. He's like, "Yeah, my cup's just full, running over." Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so you can't get away from faith. Believing God's word and having that joy, 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 joy down in your heart, it comes from the Lord, and it is supernatural. Nehemiah 8:10 says, "Then said he unto them, Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." He had to command them, quit, come up on out of that. I know it isn't what you, I know your expectations aren't met, especially you first generation folks. I know this temple isn't everything you thought it should be. I know you heard, you heard him reading the scripture, and you know that you've fallen way short. Come up on out of that. God has a plan for you. You're still breathing, and he is taking you somewhere. So let your joy be full, so you can have strength that's full, which is what Nehemiah 8:10 is all about. So, as we wrap this up, the recipe for joy is simple. Jesus, others, and yourselves, and then, or yourself, to make it joy, to make the acronym right, Jesus, others, and yourself, is really how joy is going to be manifest in our life. And so, praise the Lord. I hope that's encouraging. Because next Sunday night, I've talked about rotating through and maybe having different ones of us take Sunday night. Are you guys up for that? Jeff, are you up for that?
Sure.
Are you, Jamie? Okay. Bob? Ron?
Yeah.
All right. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's a pretty good rotation. That might, if you guys don't mind, we might do that for a while. I don't know. I'll leave it open for now, but we'll figure out how to do that. And let's just keep it focused on prayer. And then I'll try to get a little schedule together. Whatever God gives you. That way it's easy. Just bring your devotional thoughts. I shouldn't go so long. I probably went 30 minutes. So, but anyway, you guys know the drill. So let's go ahead and pray it up. And I'm going to turn off this recording so we can talk a little more frankly. And 32 minutes and 59.